Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to say this, rejoice in the Lord. In fact, this is a safeguard for you, he will write. Joy is the sheer evidence of God. C.S. Lewis would write, he would say, it is the duty of every Christian to be as happy as possible. So this morning I want to ask you, as we look at Philippians chapter 3, I want you to take just a moment to rate yourself. Where are you this morning in the opportunity, in the attitude, in the awareness of participating and rejoicing in the Lord? How would you put yourself on that scale of 1 to 10? Someone once noted that the New Testament is the happiest thing in literature, with the sound of singing everywhere throughout. It opens with this choir of angels that are singing over the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. It closes with this hallelujah chorus there in the throne room. Phillips Brooks, I love this quote. He said, religion that makes a man look sick certainly can't cure the world. This is the sixth time that Paul is going to use this word about rejoicing. It is meaning, really, this idea to verbalize, to put into action. This is a verb. This is an action. This is what we are supposed to participate in as we join together, as we think about the greatness of God. This is a praise or a singing. In fact, in chapter 2, the whole beautiful presentation of Christ, of how he humbles himself, how he brings himself to the point of even a servant as a man on the cross, even to death, is a song or a liturgy that they would share in their worship service back in the first century. And then it continues on that every knee would bow, every tongue would confess, and you can just hear the raise and the pride and the proud attitude that's around them as they think about what is to come despite the difficult nature of their life at that moment. This rejoicing gives them a picture, ties them into the future and what is to come. If you're going to walk away from today hearing something that sounds like work or drudgery, it sounds like what you might see on social media tomorrow when it's a Monday and we have to go back to work or to school and the attitudes just go down, you're missing the good news of what Paul is writing about when he calls us to rejoice. This is an opportunity of great proportion. Sociologists will tell us that in this next year, our society is going to go through some massive amounts of change because of the COVID, the quarantine, all the things that we've been enduring. There have been many who have been suppressed, their dreams on hold, their wishes and wants. And so in just a moment, they are going to launch towards what they have been desiring to do for quite some time. As things shift, as things change, as our society gets back to normal, as it has changed into something a little bit different, there's going to be a lot of change within our corporate world, and people are going to be transferred, people are going to be moved. We've already experienced that within our family as we've said goodbye to Chris and Denton Haynes just a few weeks ago. But this is an opportunity as well, because as we might have a few more from our family who are launching off into new directions, we see that as God saying, I want to expand the South Fork touch and feel within the world. I want to send these people out into the world. But God is also going to be sending us additional people from around our community who are moving this way, who have been watching us online or participating in a variety of other ways. And our congregation is going to be a blessing for that. I want to share with you a couple other things that I see as great opportunities. On your chair this morning, in our email this week, an opportunity for us to serve at the rescue mission here in Winston-Salem. We have two of our teens saw what we did as a congregation just a couple months ago with the clothes drive for Mexico, as we were helping those new Christians who are moving into more of an urban setting, trying to find new jobs, giving them clothes that might be appropriate for that new lifestyle. They said, why can't we do something here in our community? And so you see in front of you a list of opportunities for us to give back and to bless this ministry. And so we're looking for clothes, we're looking for food, toiletries. There's baskets out in the lobby right now. And so over the next few weeks, if you'll help us in that. A few weeks ago, we had a wonderful one service event on Easter out here in the parking lot. And we were able to get both of our morning service and this late service, this 10:15, together in one opportunity to join. And we see that Mother's Day is coming up, and we know that many will have friends and family in town wanting to come and be a part. And so we're going to do that again on Mother's Day. We're going to have a collective, unified, one service outside coming on Mother's Day. We know that the governor has started to suggest or hint at some possible changes coming maybe as early as May. Some restrictions might be lifted. And so that's going to change the way that we work and interact here within this congregation. And so I want to ask you, as we think about what God has done for us, to see the opportunity for us to participate. And so I want to share with you this phrase: it'll be great when we all participate. When we all join in the ministry of this opportunity to serve for the rescue mission, when we all participate in our worship service, when we all participate in giving back and serving, that in just a few moments, we're going to have the opportunity for maybe Bible classes or fellowship groups or other things. And as we participate, as we join together, it is going to be great that we get to share in that. I'm going to look forward to having classes scheduled for us to be able to participate. And that means that we need some of you to step up. Last week we had a couple of families who really could have used somebody in the nursery to help give them a hand with some of their little ones so that they come and be a part of a worship service and get just a break. How many of us will step forward this week or next week to help and serve in that? In the coming weeks and months, we're going to have an opportunity for Bible classes. Our KFC wing is getting renovated and getting nearer to the completion. How many of us are going to start preparing for our Bible classes, stepping up and saying, I would volunteer. What else do I need to do in this interim before we are ready? And over starting next Sunday, we're going to start a fundraising drive. We need $30,000 to complete our auditorium renovations. We've had a few extra things that were put onto the list by our city in order to get our permit, and those have risen the cost just a little bit, and so we need an additional $30,000 to complete that project. And we're going to run this special fundraiser from May and June, because Lord willing, in July, we will be in our auditorium. We're going to run this special fundraising asking for $30,000 for May and June, because Lord willing, we will be in our auditorium sometime in July. We can rejoice. That's okay. You can clap. That's all right. We have our permit. Everything is starting to get scheduled. Our contractor is working on this, and so we're excited about that opportunity. I want to direct your attention to Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. We're going to look at this several times this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read this from what's called the NIV Reader Version. This is a special version for those who are learning English as a second language. And it puts it into a simplified form, but I like the way that it renders this, because it helps us to have some clarity about really what is being said. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I've taken hold of it yet, but here is one thing that I do. Forget what is behind me, and I push towards what is ahead of me. I move on towards the goal to win the prize. Now listen to this next sentence. God has appointed me to win it. You need to write that sentence down. You need to put that on your mirror, put that on your dash, put that in front of you every day. God has appointed me to win it. This is God's wish. This is God's desire. This is what God wants of my life, to win this prize. And it goes on to say that this is the prize. The heavenly prize is Christ Jesus Himself. There is great future for those who believe. And so I want to share with you three things that I think will help us to see really what this means. Number one, we need to know Christ. If the prize is Christ Himself, we need to know Christ. Philippians chapter 2 paints this beautiful picture of the humbleness, the power that is within Christ as He removes Himself from the seat of heaven, as He comes down to earth to participate in life, not only to participate, but to lead, to guide, to show really what it means to live a fruitful life. And then the power over death as he rises out of that grave, as every knee, every tongue confess that he is Lord. There is beauty in that. And Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know about that power that is in his resurrection. And I'm going to share that suffering. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to participate in any challenge that comes my way, because I know the challenges of this life will pale in comparison to what is to come in the reward ahead of me. And so I will lay down my life. I will know my Jesus. Philippians 3, again, verse 13 and 14. We're going to come back to this. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider what I have taken hold of it yet, but here is the one thing that I do. I forget what is behind me, and I push towards what is ahead of me. I move towards the goal to win the prize that God has appointed for me to win. This heavenly prize is Jesus Christ himself. I want to know him. I read recently about some lion tamers, and maybe you remember in the videos, or you went to the circus and you saw this, that a lion tamer would walk into the cage of a lion. And there he would have a whip in hand and a stool or a chair in the other, right? And did you ever wonder why? I mean, the whip I get, like, get back, kind of scare him and frighten him. But the chair, it was like this little stool. It didn't seem like it was going to be that great. You could find some better defense, I think. But come to find out, that stool has four legs. And the lion doesn't see it as one chair with four legs. It sees it as four things coming at him at once, and he can't concentrate on all four of those different things at the same time. And so he gets confused, and so he hunkers back and he holds his position. And I think that's so apropos for our lives as well. Sometimes those darts that Satan is throwing at us, those things that are coming around us, seem to be so scattered and we're confused, but we hold on, we focus on the prize. We know that there is great reward if we will stay forward. And so Paul here in chapter 3 reminds us to know Christ, to see that as the prize. He also says, look at yourself, judge yourself, pay attention to what's going on as you look in the mirror, as you look in your heart, you look into your own mind. He says, whatever I gained, and Paul will give a great list of great accomplishments in his life. He will talk about a resume that is to stand out. But he says, all of that really is counted as loss. That really is trash. I'm going to move forward. It is like some of these big celebrities who have this room filled with trophies. And as years go on, as their success continues to grow, they grab some of the older ones, the lesser of successes, and they take those trophies and they actually just throw them away to make room for something bigger. That's what Paul is saying. All these things, my successes, my ministries, my life, my pedigree, all that is trash, because there's a prize that is coming for me that is so much greater. Amen? And that's why he says rejoice. Brothers and sisters, we've been conditioned to think that we need to be quiet. We need to hold back. But Paul says just the opposite. We need to, as he says in verse 12, I want to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of in me. We also need to take a look at our own life and our own desires, because our desires become our addictions. Our addictions become our destruction. And this is a great, great thing for us to pay attention to. If there's a great prize in front of us, it could be our own desires that devastate us. Psychologists will say that there's 8 categories of addiction we need to be aware of. There is this gambling addiction. There is a sexual addiction. There is an entertainment addiction, that internet and TV, video games, social media, movies, all those kind of things wrap up into this type of thing. There's this shopping addiction of desire for more, something to fill my life. There is an addiction towards praise or acknowledgments or achievements. There's an addiction to food, which leads to anorexia, bulimia, overeating, unhealthy foods, and so many other things. There's an addiction towards risky behavior, those adrenaline junkies who continue to put themselves in harm's way just for that rush of a joy. There is also chemical addictions of drug and alcohol and tobacco. And Paul is saying that each of these has the potential to become your own destruction. AA would say that admitting you have a problem is the first step in your recovery. Paul says, keep going. Notice the prize that's before us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says, I'm going to discipline my own body. I'm going to take control of my own mind so that I press forward in all of this, so that I don't become disqualified in my own life. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, listen to it again. I don't consider that I've already taken hold. But there is one thing that I do. Forgetting what is behind, and I press on towards the goal that is ahead of me. I move on towards the goal to win the prize God has appointed for me. And that prize is Jesus Christ Himself. Last thing I want to share with you real quick is there is victory. There is joy ahead of us. If we are not experiencing and embracing the joy right now, we're misunderstanding what God has in tune for our lives. This opportunity for victory is actually eventually and through our own mind, through God's Word, is going to transform our mind, our thinking, our awareness of the world, and He is at work within us. It's also going to transform our bodies. Look what He says in verse 20. He says that we will be transformed from this lowly state into a glorious body like His. God will take what is decaying, what is wearing down, and He will renew it into this beautiful place of transformation. And we will be in Christ, and we will be with Christ. And that beautiful scene of the Lamb opening up that final scroll, and the multitudes from throughout the ages singing His praises, we will be in Christ and with Christ, and it will be eternal. This is not just a momentary. This is not just one moment, but this is forever and ever in the presence of the Almighty. Transformed, renewed, blessed, and given rest. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider any of the things that have happened in the past something to hold on to, but I'm going to press forward. I'm going to look at the prize that's ahead of me, that God has called me towards, that God has appointed for me, for you as well, and we will grab hold of that prize, which is Jesus Christ, and we will enjoy the blessing. Philippians teaches us about our relationship with God. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, Paul will also write, he says, you are children of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. And all of you, through that faith, you were baptized into Christ. And you have been clothed with Christ. You have been made new. He will go on to say in Galatians chapter 4 that the Spirit now is living in you. So much so that that Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. I don't know if you saw this on the video or here in person, but as we were getting ready for one portion of our communion, a child cried out, Dad, Dad. And Corey's face just lit up. That's what the Spirit does. Cries out, Father. And He sees us. Peter would say it simply this way. Repent. Turn from those evil desires, those sinful desires, those self-destroying desires. Grab hold of the prize that's before us. Repent of those ways. Be baptized. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of all your sins. If that's not a reason to rejoice, I don't know what is. This morning we have an opportunity to celebrate the greatness and the grace of God. We're going to sing this song in just a moment. I pray that this will be an encouragement as we celebrate who really God is in our life. If there's any way we can encourage you and help you in your walk, please put one of our shepherds aside. Let them pray with you and guide you. Come to the office and let us spend some time in prayer and counsel together. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take my life. May